I just love being at church, and I love being here tonight with all of you. I just think it's just a blessing to have this privilege to be together. Well, I want to introduce to you my friend Sherry. Her name is Sherry Deaton. She is from Santa Fe, where Mark and I came from. But really, the past 20-some years, she's been living in Florida. And we've been friends for, I was thinking, maybe 30 years now. And I was shocked because we were all in our 20s and we're all just starting getting married. And it's just weird to think how weird time is. But the Lord recently moved them back here, which is great. And I'm so thrilled. She oversaw our women's ministry at Calvary Chapel Santa Fe in New Mexico. And she's a blessing to me and one of the people that I look up to. What was I going to tell you about her? No. Oh, her and Jay is her husband, and she has two daughters, Mariah and Victoria, and Mariah's there. And they have been serving in addiction ministry and with the homeless for all these years, and that's been their life. They've lived in the world. They live life with them. And so when they came here, it was kind of culture shock to not be in that world. But she can tell you someday more of her story. But if you know people struggling with addiction, she and her husband are the people to see, because they disciple and live life and encourage, and they're not a program. They're people helping people walk out of addiction, and there's a lot of fruit in their lives. But I want to welcome now Sherry Deaton.
Thank you, Tracy, and thank you, ladies, and good evening, and a Merry Christmas to you. Hope you're all doing well tonight. Thank you, Tracy, for such a beautiful, beautiful setting. I mean, she's right. I'm not used to this kind of glamour. This is lovely, so it's just wonderful. Tonight, I would like to talk to you about God's gift of peace. And to start us off, I would like for you to go back in time with me for just a moment and imagine yourself as the little girl you once were. And now I want you to imagine that you're here tonight at this wonderful Christmas party. And I say to you, girls, I have a surprise for you tonight. Tonight you have a choice. You can either have this large pile of presents that are filled with toys and candy and puzzles and all of the things that children like. Or you can have this one gift of God's peace. Which would you like? And I would imagine that most of us, if not all of us, would go running for the toys. Because even if we needed peace at that time in our lives, I believe our childlike instincts would take over and we would say, we need the toys more. Fast forward, though, to tonight, as we sit here as adult and young adult women, and we may still be excited about the Christmas party and we're dressed up and looking forward to the holiday season. But a lot has changed since we were little girls. Life has become more complicated, hasn't it? And in many ways, it has become more unsettling. For example, some of us are concerned about God's will for our lives, and we're troubled about it. We're worried about where he wants us to live or to work or what ministry he would like us to be involved in. Some of us are troubled about financial issues and health issues. Some of us carry the burden of worrying about problems in our marriage and problems with our children. Some of us are worried about dating issues, or shall I say the lack thereof, right? Sometimes we say, Lord, will I ever meet a nice Christian guy? And it can be worrisome. And of course, some of us are concerned about the state of the nation and wondering what the future holds. Again, life is not as simple as when we were children, and the worries and concerns that we have can weigh heavily on us. So with this in mind, I want you to consider, what if I gave you the same Christmas present option tonight as adults? What if I said to you, ladies, I have a surprise for you. Tonight, I have a large pile of presents that are filled with clothing and trinkets and jewelry and bubble bath and all of the things that women love, and Starbucks gift cards, you name it, whatever's in there. Or you have the choice of this gift of God's peace. Which will you choose? I would guess that at this stage of the game, most of us would choose the peace. In fact, I would guess that many of us would come running for the peace, faster than a child runs for the toys. Because we've learned, as we've gotten older, that more stuff doesn't satisfy. We need God's peace. I don't need more stuff. I need Him and the peace that only He can give. In 2 Thessalonians 3:16, Paul writes this, "May the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always and in every way." Isn't that beautiful? So tonight, I'd like for us to open up this gift of God's peace, and I'm going to share with you a biblical truth that promises to give you peace always and in every way, no matter what struggles you face. You ready? Here's the truth. Our highest goal as Christians is relationship with Jesus Christ, not a problem-free life. I'm going to say that again. Our highest goal as Christians is relationship with Jesus Christ, not a problem-free life. So many Christians, including myself, lose our peace when problems come our way, because somewhere along the line, we bought into the lie that a problem-free, a smooth Christian life was more important than an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And I don't think we do it on purpose. I think it just sort of happens. I mean, we're human. And as humans, we want life to be comfortable. But here's the thing. If we make a comfortable life our goal, then any time something goes wrong, guess what? We lose our peace because we're falling short of our goal, right? And the truth is that we will never meet that goal, because Jesus says in John 16:33, in this life you will have what? Trouble. In this life, we will have trouble. So if we try to push against this truth and deceive ourselves that life is supposed to be great all the time, we will never have true peace. But if our highest goal is an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, then no matter what happens, no matter how bad things get, our peace will remain. Because we know that our problems only draw us closer to Him. And our problems will help us to see how much he loves us and how faithful he is in the hard times, and that his only desire is for our best and our well-being, and that he promises to work everything together for good. We will have peace no matter what happens if relationship with Jesus Christ is our number one goal. Jesus says in John 17:3, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the Heavenly Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent." The eternal life that we as Christians talk about so often is not necessarily a place that we're going to. It's a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is eternal life. And if we keep that as the primary goal of this life, nothing will steal your peace. The Lord started teaching me this lesson many years ago when my husband and I scheduled a trip for a good number of the homeless men that we were ministering to. And we were taking them on a bus to a Christian camp for the weekend. And before we got on the bus, we stopped, like all good Christians do, and we gathered the men together to pray for the trip. It was probably about a four-hour bus ride. And so we prayed a very common Christian prayer, which went something like this, that God would grant us, what, a smooth and problem-free drive, a smooth trip. And we specifically prayed that we would not get a flat tire. Because, ladies, let me tell you, you don't want to be on the road with 45 men and break down in a bus on the side of the highway with no food and no water and no restrooms, not doing it. So we made sure we covered that in our prayer. Well, wouldn't you know, an hour into the trip, guess what we get? We get a flat tire. And to say that peace was lost on the bus would be an understatement. We had all kinds of comments and ideas, and criticism, and complaining. And worst of all, it gave the men an opportunity to begin mocking our prayer, and ultimately mocking God. Because as I said, many of the men were not believers at that time. And so while my husband and I stood on the side of the road for hours, waiting for help to come amongst, 45 agitated grown men, we realized that our priorities had been out of line. We had made the goal a problem-free trip instead of knowing Jesus. And it would have been much better if we had prayed, "Lord, please give us a safe trip. Please don't give us any flat tires, but more than anything, Lord, help us to stay close to you. Help us to see that you will meet our every need, no matter what happens." Oh, to have prayed that prayer, our peace would have remained, and God would have been glorified. We lost a tremendous opportunity that afternoon. And we purpose not to do it again. You say, "Well, Sherry, that's nice, but what about big problems in life?" I mean, that's good that, God's peace can cover flat tires and things like that. But what about the serious issues that I'm facing in this life? I want you to remember our verse. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and in every way. This tells me that we can have God's peace in every situation, no matter how difficult. You just need to apply the same principle. keep your relationship with the Lord number one, and that peace will remain. We see this played out in the biblical story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'm convinced that Mary, like any other woman, desired a problem-free life. She was human, just like us. But from Scripture, it is clear that her highest goal was relationship with God. It had to have been, because God was about to turn her world upside down. And if her highest goal was a problem-free life, she never would have made it, never would have lasted. Absolutely not. And I don't believe God would have chosen her, because it would have been too much. Mary's life was full of problems. And I want to just run through just a few of them this evening and see if we can't relate to what she went through. Mary's reputation was ruined. People thought that she was immoral for getting pregnant before marriage. Mary was innocent, but she suffered the consequences of someone who had lived an immoral life. Are you troubled with the consequences from an immoral past? Does it plague you, the wreckage that has been left behind from choices that you made when you were younger? Have you lost your reputation? People gossip about you. Family members have avoided you. Mary faced the same problem. Mary was forced to leave her family and her home as she and Joseph left for Bethlehem. Are you troubled because you are separated from someone that you love? Mary faced the same exact problem. Mary lived under an oppressive government, so oppressive that they sought to kill her son. She and Joseph were forced to flee the country. Are you troubled about the state of our nation and that it might become overly oppressive at some point? I never dreamed I'd be saying that standing up here. But are we concerned about it? Mary faced the same exact problem. Mary lived what seemed to me, from Scripture, to be a very unsettled life, being asked to pick up and move at a drop of a hat, sometimes not knowing exactly where she would end up. Do you feel unsettled in your life? Not knowing what God wants you to do or where he wants you to be. Or maybe he's calling you somewhere and it feels really uncomfortable. You've lost financial security. Mary faced the same problem. Mary lost her husband, Joseph. She became a widow early on and was left to face the second half of her life without him. I want you to think about this, including the crucifixion of their son. Are you troubled because you've lost your husband due to death or divorce? Mary faced the same exact problem. Mary's adult children were unbelievers, and there was turmoil amongst them. Can you imagine? You have given birth to the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and your children that follow after him don't believe. Can you imagine the chaos that brought about and the prayers that Mary offered for her children? Do you have adult children that have chosen to walk away from the Lord? Or maybe they've never known the Lord and they're making some really painful decisions in life and it's causing turmoil in the family? Mary faced the same problem. And worst of all, Mary watched her firstborn son be crucified on a cross. We will never endure that. But are you troubled because you've lost someone dear to you? And life feels lonely and empty. Mary faced the same problem. You talk about a life full of trouble. You talk about a woman who had to let go of so many of her hopes and her dreams. But here's the thing. I think Mary knew she was in for a lifetime of trouble the moment the angel told her that she was pregnant with the Son of God. She knew that the life she had kind of expected and hoped to live was over. All of those dreams, all of those hopes, not happening. But listen to what she says in Scripture. This is taken from Luke chapter 1. Mary says this, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me." Oh, that we would be at a place in our lives that when we are faced with problems, that we would have the peace that Mary did, and that we would proclaim, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for the Mighty One has done great things for me." This is the heart of a woman who understood that God's highest goal for her life was relationship with him. This is the heart of a woman who knew that God loved her and that he had her best interest in mind and that he would work everything together for good. This is the heart of a woman who remained in God's peace. This Christmas season, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and in every way. Amen.